We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making it cool to be a conservative. Text lines blew up. Text lines are open. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it or call it. We'll hear from you both ways. John from Huntsville did just text in. He says, Phil, awesome monologue. Definitely one of your best ever. Thank you, brother. Said, I've given you 10 extra points. Don't waste all of them at one time. That was like a compliment and a backhanded compliment all at the same time.
It seems like your monologue's the best it's ever been every time.
No. It just keeps exceeding the previous ones. That's what's happening. I love how he tells me not to waste my points once I've gotten them. Okay. Morgan from Fort Myers, Florida, says, I hope the association that these people feel with a terrorist group will land them on a terrorist watch list. Listen, I'm going to tell you, Morgan, I'm watching the news right now, and like in Columbia University, they were given a deadline. Well, they were given a deadline a few days ago and didn't respond to it, but they were given a deadline today. The deadline has come and gone. The protesters are apparently still defying the school to leave. We're hearing the NYPD is going to show up and roust them out, and I hope they do. They need to. I mean, you can't set a deadline and then not enforce it. That just makes you a toothless tiger at that point. It's embarrassing. It does nothing for the credibility of the actual organization of the school, and it calls into question whether the administration's even in charge of their own campus and can provide security for anybody else on the campus at that point. So they're boxed in. The administration has nothing left but to get them off the campus. And they're being threatened with full suspension. I'll talk about a lot of this stuff, you know, later in the show. Third Dipper is protesting the protesters. But, I mean, these kids are – some of them who are students – I mean, I think some are not. But some of them who are students are looking at losing their future just – yeah, for what? For a cause that they apparently know nothing about. Frank from Madison, Alabama says, in 1948, when the surrounding Arab countries declared war on the new Jewish state, they called on the Muslim population to remove themselves to Gaza and the West Bank until the new Jewish state was eliminated. They could return to their homes. That's why those two enclaves exist. Indeed. Those Muslims that remained in their homes were integrated into Israeli life. How many of the demonstrators bothered to research this? None. They don't care. They don't care about truth. They don't care about whether or not there's any validation to their points or not. They just have a mantra, and they want to get, they're swept up in the moment right now, most of them, and they're just out there just having big doings and how neat it is, you know, going to wear my, you know, my keffiyeh scarf and pretend that I know something about something, and the next thing you know, they're going to be out of school. Jeff from Indiana says, hey, Phil, I think the history teachers that cut these kids have dropped the ball. So I think they've been teaching history like on the Rocky and Bullwinkle show, Fractured Fairy Tales, where they get the story halfway right, but they always put a biased spin on it. I'd forgotten about that. I may have a new monologue coming about Rocky and Bullwinkle. Thank you, Jeff. He says, tomorrow the story is teach history good or bad, but the facts are not the spin. Missy from Faultville just said, amen. Thank you, Missy. Appreciate you. Michael from Taft, Tennessee says, amen. All they have to do is call and I'll come out of retirement and serve. Michael, you and a bunch of us, brother. All us old dudes, we can't march as long or move as fast. By golly, we can get her done. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. I mean, like covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, y'all. I'm talking about Alabama. This show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right. Hey, listen, a couple texts, and I got to go to the phones, too. Real quick, JT Lacey Springs said, saw today the word esoteric seems to define the left and anything Biden. esoteric. It's historic. Oh, now I got to look that up. Okay. Thank you, JT. Appreciate you. Roughly Ann from Huntsville says, breaking, North Carolina protesters shot. I need to find out about that. It's not on the news. Roughly Ann, if you have a story linking to that, let me know. Gary from Decatur, Are you talking about that time-honored, prestigious learning institute administered by plagiarists and CCP donors? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. There's that. Let me go to the phones real quick. Bobby from Moulton's on the line. Bobby, how you doing?
Doing good, man. How are you doing, Phil?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
Man, I'd love to. I don't know if you got any liberal friends at all, but I would love to hear a kind of a point by point on your monologue of how they would disagree with any of that.
Wow!
Because I just don't understand.
No, but I don't understand it either, and I don't get it. I mean, it's to the point that I can't relate to people that would not agree with that. But I know they're out there, and I get that you can dislike something, but the very idea that you dislike everything is to me antithetical to common sense.
Right.
Well, Bobby, I appreciate you, man. Thanks so much for the encouragement. Stay in the fight, all right?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Wow, great call. Jeremy from Huntsville, last text before I go to the Dipper, says, from the movie Big Trouble in Little China, Wang Chi says, here's to the Army and the Navy and the battles they've won. Here's to America's colors, the colors that never run. And then Jack Burton said, may the wings of liberty never lose a feather. Like it. I like it lots. All right, let me reach back here and grab some notes because I actually do have a whole Dipper full of stuff that I just threw on the floor. Good Lord. Big rig. Over here having me a moment trying to gather up my notes. all right. Whew. All right. Get me a sound effect ready, brother. So here's the deal. You know the thing, man. Every once in a while, we got to look around and see what's happening in our own backyard, right? What is happening in and around and amongst us? What is happening right here at home? And once we find it, we put on like the whole buffet, the cornucopia of stuff that comes in and around Alabama, we call it home fries. Yeah, cook them up. Cook them up. All right, so here's the deal. There's a lot of things happening in the news right now, not the least of which is the fact that our state legislature, like many legislatures, Alabama is a part-time legislature, and they come into session once a year. Unless the governor calls them into a special session, which I've always thought is a bit weird because that almost seems like a blurring of the lines between branches. But anyway, if the governor calls them into a special session, they come in. Otherwise, they only meet once a year, and they call that the regular session. The regular session is almost over. They can only meet for 30 days in, I think it's a 105-day calendar period. So within 105 calendar days, they convene on the floor of the House and Senate to pass the laws for 30 of those days. Now, they also do other days for committee assignments and things like that, but the 30 legislative days in the chamber where they call the roll and start taking the votes, that's limited. Well, it's almost over. And I like to say the state will soon be safer because the legislature will be out of session. But nonetheless, there's things we're trying to get done. Here's a headline for you from 1819. Guns, sex ed, and the state health officer reform on proposed House calendar. That's quite the calendar. They're running the whole gamut here. It says the Alabama legislature will gavel in on Tuesday for the 26th legislative day out of a possible 30 allowed under the state constitution. An attempt to pass priority bills before time runs out. The House is planning on tackling two calendars. Now, in the calendars is basically what happens when the bill goes through the legislative process and it's referred to the Rules Committee. That's the final step before it comes out on the floor. The Rules Committee then actually puts in together what they call a legislative calendar. And when the legislative calendar is published, it can be published by the day. It can be published an hour in. It can, you know, it's a bit of a fluid movement. But once it's set and the calendar is voted on, like they vote to approve the calendar for the day, then they start taking them one at a time. Well, things that are on there, there's 19 bills right now on a proposed special order calendar. Here's a couple of them you might want to know about. House Bill 195. So Susan DeBose has become a rock star for what I would call the cultural issues especially. I mean, she's not restricted to that by any stretch, but she's become quite the go-to person for things like, you know, the What is a Woman bill and you know, keeping men out of women's sports. And she's got one right now that deals with our state's sex education curriculum. And you look at it and think, this shouldn't be a thing. But it is. She's got a bill that would require that if you're going to teach sex education, that part of what you have to teach is also the idea of, I don't know, how about this, abstinence and sexual risk avoidance. Like, you know, the fact that you increase your potential for sexually transmitted diseases and pregnancy if you have extramarital sex. Sounds like common sense, but they don't teach it because that's been taboo. Why? Think about this. Why? Why is that taboo? Well, I mean, aren't you getting into morals? What's your point? Well, I mean, if you're telling somebody, hey, think twice before you have sex out of marriage, I mean, aren't you kind of getting in their business? You're teaching sex education. Well, you want to teach them how to have sex, but not teach them, you know, what the results could be? You don't want to teach consequences for actions? Come on. Anyway, that bill is House Bill 195. And we're watching to see whether it's going to get final passage. It's got very little time to move through the process now. I'm not sure it's going to have time to keep moving. But if it can get out on the floor on Tuesday and get a vote, it still has just enough time to make it through the Senate process. And we'll have to wait and see. Here's another one. Here's one I've been advocating for several years. This is big doings. There have been various, you know, iterations of this bill, but we have one right now that does appear to be poised to make final passage. Remember back during COVID? Yeah, we do. Everybody remembers back during COVID. Remember back during COVID, we had a guy called the state health officer. So Scott Harris is our state health officer. I was shocked while working at the Alabama Policy Institute, we had one of our analysts do some research for us. How does a state health officer get their job? Surely it's like what, appointed by the governor, right? Confirmed by the Senate. And then I got to thinking, I don't recall that during my 8-year tenure in the Senate, because we confirmed all kinds of people. Did that happen? And then it comes out, the research says, no, the governor has no say in who her state health officer is. That's appointed by the Medical Association of Alabama. That's appointed by an organization that has lobbyists. That's appointed by basically a group of doctors who just care about their profession, not necessarily about the state or the state's well-being. Now, I don't want to overplay like they're all callous and indifferent, but there's no other organization out there that I know of who is allowed to appoint from within for something that then impacts all of us. And yet the state health officer was the one setting all the policy during COVID. It was the state health officer that was making the proclamations that were shutting down businesses and advising the governor that, you know, vaccines were necessary and all these things. Well, Senate Bill 128 by State Senator Tim Melson is just about through the process. We have a chance of changing this finally, and we need to, because we do not need, I mean, like right now, the state health officer, Scott Harris, he could say, shut down all the churches and schools, and you can't impeach him, you can't fire him, you can't hold him accountable, you can't do anything, you can't truly move on the position pretty much at all. And yet he's the state health officer. Down in Florida, Ron DeSantis, he's allowed to pick a cabinet-level position, kind of like having a surgeon general for the state. Not in Alabama. The doctors pick who's going to be in charge of the doctrine. That may change. State health officer Tim Melson's got the bill. It would make it a gubernatorial appointment. It would make it a cabinet-level position. It would also make it something that is, I believe, confirmed by the Senate. Or at least gets picked from a slate of candidates put forward by a appointed committee. Good thing to have. Now, here's one for you. All you gun guys out there and gun ladies, I know you're out there, both of you, all of you. There's a thing happening around the nation, and this bugs the crap out of me. I mean, they will find a backdoor way into your Second Amendment whenever they get a chance. And one of them is a thing called merchant category codes. So if Big Rig and I went to the store and bought something with a credit card, it's going to have a little code in it, and the credit card company can tell we bought things from a grocery, or we bought things from a sporting goods, or we bought things from a, you know, paint and hardware, you know, whatever. It's categorized, merchant category codes. Activists have convinced the administration they need to have one single code just for guns. Why would that be? So they can track whether you purchase guns. Right now, firearms are considered part of the broad sporting goods. If you do it, your credit card just shows sporting good purchase. It doesn't show what you purchased. Not anymore. If they get this thing done, they're going to be able to track whether or not you did or did not purchase a firearm. Why would they need to do that? What would the point be? Well, so they can track whether you bought a firearm. And they can start going into their red flag laws. And they can go out and collect. Anyway, we have a bill right now, House Bill 389 by Representative Shane Stringer out of Centronelle, who it would ban the ability of credit card companies to use these MCCs for gathering guns and ammunition information in Alabama. All right, all that's happening right now, in your Alabama legislature, that and more. And I got some other stuff that'll come up. But I also got to tell you, since we're doing home fries, how about the mullet toss? Oh, it got fun. I will tell you about that in a minute. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, heading to a break. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow, making common sense like a superpower. Hey, okay, while I'm doing home fries, the mullet toss. So, Big Rig, you never heard of the mullet toss?
I mean, I've heard of it.
I've never participated in it.
Just never seen it, yeah.
Okay, it's you're actually throwing a dead fish.
Okay.
Who thought this up? I don't know.
So is there like a target or like a bucket or something?
I think it's mostly a distance thing.
Okay, distance.
Yeah, like, you know, how far can you – you have to reach into the bucket, grab a dead mullet fish. And, you know, mullet are prolific down on the coast.
Yeah.
It's a little scrappy fish. It's like the crappy of, you know, or crappie of North Alabama. But the mullet gets tossed. So they do this down at the Floribama, and it's, you know, it's a landmark place, the Floribama right there on the border, and it's been around, I don't know how many years they've been doing this thing, but the mullet toss. Some of y'all out there have probably been to the mullet toss. It's big doings, right? Take your weekend. Let's all take the kids down and do the mullet toss. I'm pretty sure that it probably started with somebody who said, oh, watch this, hold my beer. That's probably where it started.
Probably. I kind of want to go do it now.
I know. I mean,
Can we start like
a catfish toss here in North Alabama or something?
That sounds fun. Tossing like 50-pound catfish.
Just saying. although I will say this, there's one thing in the world I have no desire to ever do, like ever in all of ever. Is noodling.
I've
done a lot of things in my day, been a lot of scary places, been a lot of high risk taking. Something about sticking my hand up under a log or a bank and seeing if something will bite it so that I can grab it by the lip and bring it out does not sound like fun to me.
Too many unknowns.
Brother.
Could be a snake.
The list of unknowns runs rampant in my head. But anyway, back to the mullet toss. So the mullet toss, PETA took issue this year. And People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals decided that they need to say something about this. They were concerned because, you know, it's just like, I don't know, mistreatment of a corpse. I don't know what this is. I mean, fish have feelings too, sort of. I don't know. But anyway, PETA took issue. So Alabama quarterback Jalen Milroe, and several other members of the Alabama football team, to include Coach Kalen DeBoer, decided they go down and throw some mullet. They're like, forget PETA. Let's go do some mullet tossing. So, yeah, they've been doing this since the 80s, apparently. A story here on AL.com. It's dubbed the Gulf Coast's greatest beach party. Happens on the coastline that straddles the Florida-Alabama state line. Contestants pay $20 each to toss a fish from a 10-foot circle in Florida across a state line into Alabama. Now, why they got to throw the dead fish at Alabama, I don't know. How come we get the dead fish? Why don't we throw the dead? Surely to goodness, there's a circle you throw it back. But then it's a sandy. It's probably a sandy at that point.
Yeah.
Like, okay, anyway. It attracts up to 25,000 people, raises more than $100,000 for local charities and animal rights groups. PETA had a suggestion for how future mullet tosses might go, and it wasn't even worth considering. But, yeah. Members of the Alabama football team, to include the coach and the basketball coach, Nate Oates, decided to go down there and sling some dead fish for charity.
Okay. So I'm glad to hear it's for charity.
Take that, PETA.
Not that you're just paying $20 to go throw a fish.
Well, I mean, no, there's got to be a little something to it.
I mean, I don't know anything about the mullet toss.
Oh, there you have it, the mullet toss. So, yeah, those of y'all that were wondering whether or not PETA shut it down, nope. Not only did they not shut it down, but by golly, they got some special VIP fish tossers at the mullet toss. Back to serious business. Yellowhammer News has got a piece. So you've heard a lot about the unionization of our plants or attempted unionization of our plants. We're coming up 2 weeks from now. The Mercedes plant over near Tuscaloosa is going to have a vote on whether or not to unionize. Now, the UAW was just successful in unionizing the Volkswagen plant in Chattanooga. Got a lot of people's attention. I mean, that happened like 2 weeks ago. So State Senator Arthur Orr, he came on Dale Jackson's show, story here on Yellowhammer. He says he's worried about the future of automobile manufacturing in Alabama because of the UAW's efforts. Says the National Labor Relations Board did announce that between May 13th and 17th, there will be a vote to whether or not to unionize. He says he's concerned about the future. He says he's heard that future growth in Alabama could come to a screeching halt as far as some of our other automakers see this. And that's certainly concerning, he says, because there's other states that would certainly love to have what we have in Alabama and what we've been working to have since Mercedes first came in the 90s. He admits there's only so much you can do at the government level. It's really up to the members of the base there, at the worker base, as to whether they want to do it or not. You know, and he says, look, it's not a foregone conclusion. He said he doesn't think the Mercedes vote is a foregone conclusion, but we should not underestimate it, in my opinion. It's me talking now. We should not underestimate it whatsoever, because they are feeling empowered right now by an administration out of D.C. that is like everything union. So just saying. Tell you what, let me grab a couple of text messages and we're going to hit the top of the hour. Coming up here momentarily, we'll have Becky Gerritsen, Executive Director of the Eagle Forum of Alabama. Don from Cairo texted in. He says, Senator Melson's also a medical doctor. Rangers lead the way. Yes, he is. I know Tim Melson. He is a medical doctor. And I think brings credibility to the fact that he's the one bringing the bill. And then Ron from Tuscumbia says, some good eating, smoked mullet. There you have it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got all the issues. I'm talking about covering down local, state, and national, sometimes the international. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, listen, there's in case you didn't know, you should have already figured it out on this show. We like to bring in the groups who are in the fight with us, right? You hear all the time about the various groups that are out there that are really doing great things. And one of those that I'm pretty fond of is the Eagle Forum. And the Eagle Forum of Alabama, Uni Smith's been there for many years, and her executive director is my friend Becky Gerritsen, who is a culture warrior herself. And Becky Gerritsen is on the line right now to give us some updates on where we stand in the final days of the legislative process. Becky Gerritsen, how are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on and for reviewing some of the bills. I was listening before I came on, and it is a busy time, and we are running out of time to get some of these good bills passed and then to try to kill the bad ones that are coming down the pike.
Yeah, on some of these, you kind of hope the time would tick along quicker, but then, like you said, there's other things you still want to get done. So I got to ask you, though, Beck, about the elephant in the room is the gambling bill. And that thing is currently sitting in conference. House and Senate don't agree, at least as far as we know thus far. What are you hearing on that thing?
Yes. Well, that is so funny that you asked that question, because everyone I see asks me that question. We're down there every day and we all look at each other. All of us, there's many forces that are, you know, trying to fight the gambling bill and or the bills or the one in conference committee. And it's very tight-lipped. We hear rumors that, you know, on Tuesday, everything was great, and there was supposed to be this big hearing that was going to happen the next day, and then the next day, there's fighting, and the meeting's been called off, and so we're all just completely in the dark, and I hope that the clock runs out, but, you know, Phil, as it goes, they may bring this up tomorrow. Who knows? There may be a bill to vote on as early as tomorrow. So we're just, you know, doing everything we can to tell people to vote no, ask their legislators to vote no, and we just have no idea. Crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. I mean, usually you can get a kind of a sense of the room, read the tea leaves, so to speak.
Yeah.
And this one seems to be, I mean, granted, it's eluding final passage to this point. I mean, think about it. This is the very first bill the House passed. They came out the gate and were like, nothing more important, and passed this gambling package. And then it went upstairs and stalled. And now we're literally days away from seeing it, you know, wither on the vine. But we need the clock to tick on that one.
We do. We definitely do. And it's been very unfortunate that leadership in both houses have been frustrated at each other and have held up each other's bills. And with, you know, when you've got something you want passed, that is not, you're not happy about that. So we'll see how everyone, I think there'll be a lot of Band-Aids and ACE bandages and stuff at the end of this session, because it's just not been a real agreeable time right now.
All right. Well, listen, there's several other bills. I mentioned one of them earlier. Representative Arnold Mooney has got a bill, House Bill 385. It's the top on your list. Y'all are supporting it. Top on your list you mailed out, I mean, I'm sorry. And this one just literally deals with, you know, basically trying to prevent obscenities in front of children. And it's like, oh, we're going to have librarians arrested and it's all goodness. And it's, talk to us about this bill. Where are we?
Right. Okay, so this is a bill that just takes the current Alabama obscenity law and adds a new section called harmful to minors material, which is legally a term. But it is, so anyway, if there are obscene books or obscene material in a children's section in the library, which we have seen across the state, that is not allowed to be there. That is against the law. But harmful to minors is more of a community standards kind of thing. So the DA would be the one to decide if something is not appropriate for a child and would pass, you know, that test. So if for some reason a librarian does not know if this is dangerous for a child or, you know, if it's inappropriate for a child, they can always get a question, you know, they can ask the DA to weigh in on that. So, but there's just this real fear tactic that all these librarians are going to be fired because they're putting books in the children's section.
Yeah.
Well, really, this is just common sense. You know
it
what
is.
Children should be exposed to and what they shouldn't be exposed to. And if you have a question, you can ask the DA.
Well, not only that, but my understanding of the bill, too, is there's no penalty if the librarian, within 7 days of receiving notice about a bill, a book that needs to be removed, if they remove the book, it's like, oh, sorry, didn't know that was on the shelf over there. We've got it. We'll take care of it. You've got 7 days to walk to the kids section and take it off the shelf and put it somewhere else. But yeah, AL.com and some of the usual sensationalists are out there talking about how we're going to, you know, the jackboots are coming to arrest all the librarians.
Right, right. Well, it's crazy. Well, on that same line of obscenity, we have two other bills that we're really wanting to get passed this year. And one is the Children's Device Protection Bill. And you're familiar with this. This is the cell phone porn bill.
Yes.
Which is so easy. It's been several years we've tried to get this passed. But every cell phone and tablet has an explicit filter that it already comes on the tablet. It's already there. The manufacturer already makes it. But it is always turned off. It's very hard to find. And then there are oftentimes so many dozens of steps to actually turn it on. So this bill just asks the manufacturer to turn it to on so that whenever a cell phone is activated in the state of Alabama, cell phone or tablet, is activated in the state of Alabama for a minor, it just toggles to on. It's a simple software update. There's no, the retailer doesn't have to go in and do anything. I mean, it's just so easy, but a great protection against children who are accidentally being exposed to explicit pornography. So there's just a real fight over this. The big tech does not like this. They make a ton of money off of pornography. They want to peddle it to our children. They don't want to make it easy to turn it off. And so that's where we're getting the pushback. And it has passed the House unanimously for many years, for 3 years. I think this is the fourth year we're trying to get this passed, and it keeps stalling in the Senate. So we are just praying that this bill, it's in committee, and they'll hopefully give it a favorable report on Wednesday, and we would have enough time for it to get to the floor.
Yeah, this is one of those. We've had Malia Stevens, who I know you know, has been on the show twice. She was on last week, and I said to her then, this is one of the most low-hanging fruit, common sense, no-brainer bills I think I've ever seen. And yet, what really bugs me is the BCA and the Department of Commerce. I mean, it's like basically our state is fighting this bill. What in the world?
Right, right. And they don't even understand when you hear them.
Did we lose
it? Sound like we're asking. They make it sound like we're asking for some awful thing you hear at their testimonies, and they just don't even understand the bill. This is such a simple, easy software update. It's the no-brainer.
Yeah, it is.
So, okay, so there's that one. And then the other one is Susan DeBose has a bill that would require, would sort of put a clamp down on comprehensive sex ed, which is the very graphic sex ed. It's more the teacher child how to have sex sort of thing. If you look in that weekly update that I sent you, you can see what comprehensive sex ed is all about. And it's so graphic and so horrible. So and this is not abstinence only. The opposition is trying to make it out that this bill is abstinence only, but they do talk about contraceptives. It is scientifically based. This is going to be a big fight, and I think it will be on the floor this week. So, again, we're just trying to protect these young children from grooming tactics. With sexual grooming everywhere, whether it's the library, whether it's in your school. I mean, it's everywhere, and these kids need help.
Yeah, they do. And I tell you what, the thing I have to ask, not of you per se, but the people that want to do, like the folks that want to put these books in the kids section, the folks that want to have graphic sexual education, which is really not education. It's more like you said, like grooming style stuff in schools. You have to, people don't ask the question enough of them. Why do you want it in the kids section? Why is that important to you to have it in the kids section? And I think that most of them, if they were asked that in a public setting, they wouldn't know how to answer. They just do. They just want it there. It's like the Read Freely Alabama people that just want that stuff in the kids section of the libraries. And yet that should be a problem in itself. Not that the books are there, that you want them there is a problem.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you, with about a minute to go before we go to the break, there's also a bill on here that I really had not been tracking, but you guys have got it on your list of bills that moved, and I'm wondering where you are on. Actually, you support the bill, I know. It's House Bill 165 by Representative Brown, but it requires parental permission for vaccines. I had not even seen this bill. What is that one about, with about a minute here?
Yeah. So if a child was at school and they wanted to give them a shot, they would not be able to under this bill. You have to, I believe it's up to age 18, unless you're emancipated, you're an adult, but you have to have your parents give written consent for you to be able to receive a vaccine. And we do like this bill a lot, but we're running out of time. It's got to be in committee this week. It's already passed the House, so now it's just moving through the Senate, and I think the Senate is holding up House bills right now because of the gambling stuff.
I've seen tiffs between the House and the Senate before. I don't think I've ever seen one that involved a press conference. I look at it now. When the Speaker of the House goes out and does a press conference and calls upon the leadership of the Senate to pass a bill, I'm like, what is going on in Montgomery right now? Aren't they all Republicans, supposedly?
Acting like it.
All right, my friend, listen, you guys have got your finger on the pulse. And I tell you what, if you hear, and listen, you can call me at a moment's notice. If you hear anything about gambling moving or whatever else, or some of the other major bills you and I have just discussed, shoot me a text or maybe even call in one day on the show and just update us as we go, okay?
Perfect. Would love to. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you. Hey, Becky, and tell them where they can find out more about Eagle Forum if they want to.
Yes, definitely. AlabamaEagle.org. And you can find our weekly updates. I'm getting ready to put week 10 on there. Which is the one that you have in your hand. And right now it's only week 9, but you can see all the weekly updates on our homepage. Just scroll down and you'll find them.
All right. Good enough. Thank you, Becky Gerritsen. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. Listen, we're going to take a break right now. But Eagle Forum is one of those groups like API and ALCAP and a few others that are Alabama-based and doing amazing things to fight within the legislative processes for what I would call good conservative public policy. If you ever want to get on board one of those organizations, I highly encourage it, because that's one way to get in the fight where there's already somebody there who helps carry a banner. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right.
Just, I mean, like saving the world one soundbite at a time. Keith from Parts Unknown says, okay, you started something. Find a place to start the North Alabama catfish toss.
I'm saying that's a good idea.
Oh my gosh. I don't know. I just, man, do we have to noodle them first? I mean,
no,
if you have to sling what you pulled out, like, you know, stuck to your hand, like your fist is somewhere down inside his throat. I'm not for it.
Yeah. No, me neither.
Okay. All right. We'll see.
That might be pro level catfish tossing.
Keith from Parts Unknown, we'll get back to you. Cameron from Decatur says, when I was working for the Montgomery Advertiser many years ago, Dave Martin with the Associated Press had an annual mullet toss at his house. He passed away a few years ago and is sorely missed. Wow. Just like brought a bucket of dead fish to his house and did what? Throw them at the neighbor's yard? What do you do with that? Goodness. I knew a guy, by the way, who, this is like a total, I'm chasing a rabbit now. A guy, by the way, who was tired of someone who kept dumping trash in his yard, like, you know, like literally like driving by and throwing stuff out. So he found out where the guy lived and he went and bought about 20 pounds of shrimp. And they apparently went and scattered it throughout the guy's yard in the heat of summer. And, you know, shrimp kind of hides down in the grass. You knew it was there about 24 hours later.
That's crazy.
That's that's pretty messed up. So anyway, yeah. All I'm saying is a mullet toss in the backyard does not sound like a way to endear yourself to the neighbors.
No.
Roughly Ann from Huntsville said, sent me a link to that story. Okay, North Carolina. She goes, I was under the impression it was at the college. Not sure the whole story. Sorry. I will check it out. Thank you. There's nothing on the news. We got the screens going in here, and I keep a tab on the news too. Just so you know, roughly, Ann, but I'm not seeing anything about, well, now that I've said that, numerous police officers shot in an active North Carolina SWAT situation, but it does not say that they were related to a pro-Palestinian protest. It does look like we have the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department reporting numerous officers were shot at the scene. Shooting began when the U.S. Marshals Task Force attempted to serve a warrant. Okay, there you go. Wow. All right. God bless them. Active shooter scene. Looks like a big deal. At a residential home. Okay. Anyway, that's what that is roughly in. Marie from Madison. Same thing about the North Carolina thing. May not be what she was talking about. I thought she mentioned a protester. I think it was just like a sort of like getting storylines across is all it was. Teresa from Town Creek also sent the same link in. Thank you all very much. I appreciate you keeping me posted. All right. So listen, we're finishing up this section. In a minute, we're going to have our friend Hannah Stevens coming on. And I love it when Hannah comes on because she just brings this breath of fresh air with her. But I will say this. The stuff we've got in the home fry segment, there's one story that it kind of bleeds over into sports. I don't know that I'll ask Hannah about it. She's welcome to talk about it if she wants to. There's a story on Yellowhammer. I have not heard of this. The International Football Alliance. Have you heard about this? Okay. American football. It's not like soccer by another name. It's American football that has teams in both Mexico and the United States. I have not heard of this. But they're talking about bringing a team to Huntsville and calling it the Alabama Beavers. Why it's the Beavers, I don't know. Beavers and trash pandas. Apparently, we like little rodent-style, you know, mascots. But they're saying the league kicks off in 2025. Reportedly, we'll have teams in Las Vegas, Tampa Bay, Dallas, Chihuahua, Cancun, Guadalajara, and Portland. And the IFA describes its mission as bridging the gap in international professional football by delivering the highest level of American football within Mexico and the U.S. I don't know, man. I don't know.
What do you not know about it?
I don't know. It just I don't know.
Doesn't sound right.
I mean.
Maybe Hannah has a comment on it.
So do the cartels sponsor a team down there in Guadalajara?
I don't know.
How's that work? Like, do they have like armed practices? Mm-hmm. They practice drills running across the U.S. border. I don't know. I'm sorry. Did I go there? Apparently, I just did. So the International Football Alliance may have teams in Mexico and the United States, and of the projected six new teams, one of them proposed to be the Alabama Beavers in Huntsville. I don't know. Jury's out, man. We'll wait and see. Coming up next, Wright Sports, Hannah Stevens. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.